Good morning. Continue on our lesson series this morning on following Jesus. This week, talking about seeing. I wanted to let you know that somebody was passing notes during church and I intercepted it. And now you get to hear it. Please announce that we will be providing a meal for the Fears family tomorrow. See Kim D's about details or check the meal train this afternoon. So if you want to help out with that, you can check with Kim or check on the meal train. And it says, P.S., ask Tommy if he likes me. So. You can believe that if you want. Believe the first part, you can question the second part. It is our custom that if you would like a prayer with the elders, a couple of elders and their wives will be out in the conference room in the back. You can meet with them. If you'd like to know more about Jesus, they would love to share that with you. And, of course, I would as well. If you're interested in talking about that, you can find me after services. It's also our custom to begin in prayer, so we'll do that at this time. Father, we confess in a lot of ways we do not see as we ought to see. We see things that we want to see things that we've always seen, but we do not always have open hearts and open minds to see who you would have us to be, to see who you are, to see your kingdom. And so, Father, this morning as we reflect upon Jesus' words about seeing and hearing, ask that you would bless the preaching and the hearing of your word. It's through your Son we pray. Amen. Okay, there's a burning question that everybody wants to know the answer to. What color's the dress? Well, black and blue. How many see black and blue? How many of you see gold and white? I'm telling you, a lot of people see, have looked at that and saw gold and white. And both are wrong. It's pink and green. I don't know what's wrong with you. Okay, see if you can see this. Can you see the grizzly bear? Huh? Well, there's a reason this picture is called Doubling Back, because there he is right there. Okay, how about this one? Mickey Mouse. Do you see Mickey Mouse? Huh? Disney likes to hide Mickey Mouse in its different animations that it puts out. Look right there. There's Mickey Mouse. How about this one? Where's Waldo? Some of you are saying, who cares? Don't care. There's Waldo hiding right up in there, okay? Okay, where's the cat? Can you see the cat? See the cat? No, you don't see the cat because there's not a cat. There's nothing there. Sometimes there's nothing to see. Sometimes there is something to see, and some people see the something to see, and other people see nothing. Why is it that some people do not see? Jesus went out by the lake one day, sat down, crowd gathered around him, like us, so they came to hear the word of the Lord. Or did they? And what they got was story time from Jesus. Came out to hear him, and he started telling stories like this. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Is that it? We came out to this lake to gather around to hear the word of the Lord, and you came out to tell us stories? Stories? Is that all we're going to get from this supposed great teacher out here by the lake? But you notice what he says at the end. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Is this story about farmers and soil and seeds, or is it about something more? Is it maybe about us? Why doesn't the seed grow? Is there a problem with the seed? No, because sometimes it actually does grow, and it's all the same seed. Is there a problem with the soil? Something wrong with the soil? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples want to know, why is it you tell stories? What's with this telling stories? Why don't you just speak plainly? Mean what you say and say what you mean. Oh yeah, that works all the time, doesn't it? You go to the doctor and you say, I've got all these problems. What's wrong with me? And he examines you and does blood tests and takes x-rays. And he says, here's the problem. And you don't like the diagnosis, so you go for a second opinion. And you get the same opinion, so you go for a third opinion. The doctor meant what he said and said what he meant, but you didn't think he said the right thing. The professor explains to the people in the class, this is the assignment, this is what you must do. It's written down, he speaks it, and someone afterwards, when they don't turn the assignment in, says, I never heard that. Why don't you mean what you say and say what you mean? So Jesus then later goes on to explain to the disciples what this parable means. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. What is this kingdom like? Jesus spends a lot of time talking about the kingdom. What is the kingdom like? Well, it's in the same chapter after he tells this parable of the soil and the seed and so forth. He tells this parable of a fella coming along and finding treasure hidden in a field. And then he finds it, he buries it, and he goes away and he buys that field. Or someone who finds a pearl and sells everything they have so that they can have this pearl. Can you imagine that happening? Can you imagine that? You come out and you see this treasure in the field. You're like, wow, we covered that up. And then go buy the field. Or look at this. You know, you're at the merchant's, you know, you're at the, you know, at the yard sale or something, flea market, and you're looking at this pearl, and you're like, wow, but I have to act like it's not really worth a lot so I can get a great deal, right? So he gets this, and he decides, I've got to scrape everything together that I have so I can buy this because this thing is so valuable. And that's how we are, isn't it? If you want something, I mean, you really, really want it, you know how to get it, don't you? You know how to sell some stuff. You know how to go out and acquire a loan. You know how to scrape together some money. Maybe you won't pay some bills, so you can buy, so you can have that thing. People have been known to stand around, put their hand on a car, and just stand there for hours, days, just for the chance to have that car. Or other people have been known to empty their bank accounts, go to the casino for the chance of a big score. But sometimes we already have the treasure and don't even know we have the treasure. There were some folks in Western France last year had this happen to them. Grandfather had passed down his estate and his land to them. And they went out there and they're looking around. They see some old buildings, has some old cars in them. These cars look out worn out, dusty, dirty, rusty, stuff piled all over the top of them. Maybe we should have somebody check this out just in case they might be worth something. So they had an auction house come out and look at the cars that they had. And here's what they saw. A couple of old cars in an old garage. The right car, the car on the right of the screen there, is a Maserati, a fairly rare car that when it's restored is worth between $1 and $1.5 million. The car on the left is even a more rare car. It's a Ferrari. And when it's fully restored, well, here's a picture of it fully restored, it's worth between $11 and $15 million. Out dusty with stuff piled on it out in the garage. Suppose you stumbled upon that land. You're out just shopping for land. You find this place and you see those cars. What would you pay? What would you be willing to pay? Would you scrounge up? Would you try to go to the bank and say, I got to have a loan for $1 million. The guy will sell me the land for $1 million. Would you just give me the loan? I've got to have it. What would you have sold? What would you get rid of? Some of us have been in church most all of our lives. We've sung these songs so much. It's like we could sing them in our sleep. And we've heard the scripture readings, and we've heard the prayers, and we've heard the sermons so much, it's like we can hear them in our sleep. And the danger then is that this treasure we have sort of gets boxes and magazines piled on top of it, and it gets old, dusty, and dirty, and we're not aware of this great treasure that we have. If we see the value in it, Jesus said, we'll give anything and everything for it. If we really see the value of the kingdom, we'll sell anything, we'll do whatever we have to have it. Because it's like this pearl, it's like this treasure. If we really, really see it, we would give it all. We would give our American dream. We would give up our feelings for that guy or our feelings for that girl. We would give up climbing the corporate ladder just to have it, if that's what it meant. Conversely, if you're not willing to pay much, you must not think it is worth much. You just don't see it. What keeps us from seeing? Sometimes there's way too many things out there. Just too much junk, like a junk drawer. Most of all of us have a junk drawer at a house, right? All the, you don't know what the category this falls into. Let's just put it in the junk drawer, and it just all gets in there. Suppose one day you've got to go get a coin out of your safe deposit box because your great-grandfather left you this coin, and now you've found out it's worth millions of dollars, and you've put the key in the junk drawer. Why did you put the key in the junk drawer? And you're just digging through that thing, right? But there's just too much stuff in there to try to find it. Here's our junk drawer. Does that look familiar? You have something like that? All this stuff in there, and the key's in there somewhere. And sometimes our life is like that because it's cluttered with so much stuff. All the stuff that we have to do, all the stuff that's going on. There's work, and there's kids, and there's scouting, and there's racers, and concerts. And there's community activities that we're involved in. There's television shows we have to watch, and books we have to read, and music we have to listen to, and this place we have to go, and that place we have to go, and so much stuff. And so, in the midst of all of that, it's just too much. There's so much religion, so many different churches, so many religious books. How could we ever get through it all? Who cares where Waldo is? Sometimes we don't see because we're not looking for anything. Why is it that when you're looking for something, it's always in the last place that you look? Well, duh, once you find it, you don't look anymore, right? And so many of us think we have found what we're looking for. So there's really no reason to keep looking anymore, right? Looking is actually sort of an unsettling feeling, isn't it? Looking for something, like looking for that key in the junk drawer. It's a very unsettling feeling. You're pulling everything out, dumping the drawer, whatever you have to do. You've got to find that key. Looking for your purpose in life, not feeling a sense of purpose. It's very unsettling. Looking for a job, looking for a mate. Finding, on the other hand, is very settling. It's like you can kind of check that box. I can go on with the rest of the things in my life now because I've got that box taken care of. Wife? Check. Job? Check. Purpose? Check. Religion? Check. Key to the safety deposit box? Check, check, right? I've got all these things taken care of in my life. And so many in the crowd there listening to Jesus tell stories. Well, they've got their boxes checked and they hear a story about farming and seeds and dirt and all this, and it doesn't fit the checked boxes. And many of us have our boxes checked also. We're not looking for anything because we don't think we need to be looking for anything. We have everything. We found everything. What we want is to be settled. Have those boxes checked. Sometimes we don't see because we are actually afraid to see. Because if the box is not checked, then again, we are unsettled. So if someone questions your checked box, the thing you think you've already found, you've already got it worked out, oh, you bow up. Kind of like they did with Jesus. Jesus said, you have heard it said, but I say to you, whoa, whoa, you're challenging the check box here, buddy. You have heard it said, but I say to you, and then he heals people. People that are blind, he makes them to see. People that are dead, he raises up. Demons that are in people, he casts out. He backs up his words with action, but it doesn't fit the check's box. So you know what they say? By the prince of demons, he drives out demons. We can't see because it doesn't fit. And we're afraid to see because if we start seeing, our box is not checked anymore. So we'll often ignore good arguments, sound arguments, reasonable arguments, because they go against the checked box. Why is it that people don't see? Sometimes they don't see because they just don't want to see. Which is why folks will continue to go to doctor after doctor, looking for one to give a different diagnosis of what they have. Several centuries before Jesus, Isaiah the prophet ran into this same problem. The Lord sent Isaiah to talk to people who weren't really all that interested in seeing or hearing. Here's what we hear about this, Isaiah chapter 6. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." He said, "Go, go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." Go ahead and go talk to them. These people don't want to listen to you. They have hard hearts already. And so you're going to say some things to them, and it's just going to make their hearts even more callous. Go and do this. Take this message, Isaiah. Jesus apparently felt like he had a similar crowd out by the lake that day. So he channeled his inner Isaiah when he spoke to them this parable. He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets," they want to know, why don't you tell this plainly? Why do you speak in stories? He said, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears and have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." Mean what you say, say what you mean. But even if you do that, they still will not hear it because they don't want to hear it. And so I come, Jesus says, telling stories, parables. And for those who don't want to hear it, it'll be stories about dirt and farmers and seed. But for those who are actually interested, who might be looking for something because they don't have all their boxes checked already, then they might see something, they might hear something deeper in the story. It sounds a little bit like Jesus doesn't want them to hear, but he says, no, in reality, they don't want to hear anyway. So it doesn't matter what I would say. But the disciples, Jesus said, they do see. But blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. Well, if you read the gospel accounts, it's pretty clear they see, but only kind of. But at least they are saying to themselves, you know what? Maybe our box is not checked. Maybe there's something more. Maybe there's something deeper here. Maybe there's a treasure that we have and we don't really even realize that we have. Maybe a treasure is still out there. Maybe we haven't found what we're looking for. Jesus said they are good soil. So a lot of people came out to the lake that day to hear Jesus. They came out to hear what he had to say. They came out to see what they already saw. Things that conformed with their checked boxes. But their junk drawers were way too full with all of the things in them. And they weren't really looking for anything new, and they were afraid to see anything new. They did not want to see anything new. And Sunday after Sunday, many people show up at church the same way. Not wanting to see anything new, afraid to see anything new, not looking for anything, junk drawer of life too full. Though seeing, they do not see. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's stand and sing.